Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Right that we turn down the volume so that you can hear the show. That's right, it's Reese on the radio. The number is 347-308-8701. I spent all day remembering and making sure that I could memorize that number. The number again, 347-308-8701, right here for Reese on the radio on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. I've got plenty of stuff to get into today. It was kind of a lackluster day in news. I look at news every day. I'm a news junkie, as many people will tell you. I remember one guy said that I was actually a chaos fanatic, and that might be true. I love the news. I love mayhem. I love when stories are out there, and they intrigue me, especially when they're sad and horrific, and more so that they're thought-provoking. But that's who it is that I am. So again, it's Reese on the radio. Again, 347-308-8701. Welcome all of you who are listening online, those of you listening at all. I appreciate you taking the time and giving Reese on the radio another chance after 3 years off the air. But we're back. We're not going to get into that. But we get into plenty of other topics. Yesterday, we broke down the Iowa caucus in the last segment of the show, the last hour. At 9 o'clock, and of course you know those results. I have my opinions, and I'm going to wait until the next hour to break those down. But there was a conversation that I had yesterday with James that I thought was very, very compelling because it's about probably one of the most volatile issues in America, and that is abortion. And ironically enough, Planned Parenthood released its fiscal numbers for last year. And when I got a chance to look at them, I think that I, like so many other people, looked at those numbers. I mean, you couldn't help but pause and say, wow, when you look at the numbers. Well, we know that Planned Parenthood gets taxpayer money. And from June 1st of 2009 until June 30th of 2010, they collected from the taxpayer $487.4 million. Very close to $500 million. Hey, you know, look, I'm not going to split hairs here. It's $500 million. And with that money, they aborted 329,445 babies. That's an astronomical number. I need you to hear that number again. 329,445,000 babies. Those were aborted. Now, you always get that argument when you hear the news. They always say, well, do you think that abortion should be legal for women who may have become pregnant due to rape or incest? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you, in that number from June 1st, 2009 to June 30th of 2010, how many of those 329,445 do you think were a result of rape and incest? Because if there's a large number, we got a bigger problem. I would happen to agree that there is a much bigger problem going on. But those are the numbers. They put out the report. This isn't subjective in any particular way. This is Planned Parenthood's numbers. Now, if I know Planned Parenthood, they're proud of these numbers. They're proud that they were able to give these services to the women who needed an abortion. Now, the right to choose. And these women chose to abort their children. So my argument is about the people who chose. It's about whether or not this may have been really, really, this may have gone a little out of hand. Folks, 329,000 babies. I mean, there are 365 days in a year. Let's consider the numbers, huh? 365 days in a year. 329,000 babies died. That's at a rate of 1,000 a day. Or close to, for that matter. And I'd love to know what you think about that. I'd love to know whether or not that's okay with you. It's a considerable amount of children. Considerable amount of babies. 1,000 babies a day were aborted? Now you can cite a bunch of things. The economy can't afford it. Woman may have been in a dire situation, a dire health situation. But do you really, really think that 1,000 women a day? Let's round it off. 800 women a day. Do you really think that there were 800 women a day that were a victim of rape, incest, or we're in a dire situation and they might die? Do you really think that? I want to know. I need to know. Please call me up, 347-308-8701. I know that some of you have had abortions. I know that some of you have probably funded the abortion of a girl that you hooked up with and you really weren't together and you opted out not to have the child because you didn't want to have to deal with the broad and girl didn't want to have to deal with the guy. Hey, it's the law. It's your choice. But come on, you're going to tell me that these numbers don't bug you? You're going to tell me that these numbers don't upset you? That these numbers don't make you go, wow, whoa? The numbers bother me. And you can't say that I'm some sort of oddball that can't wrap his head around the possibility. This is pretty intense. That's a lot of babies a day. A day. A day. You couldn't stand for that if you knew that kind of numbers on the taxpayer dime that you and I are paying for. That's right, paying for 800 kids a day to die. And that's what they are, whether you like it or not. You can use the word fetus. You can use these other words to disassociate the fact that these are children. because that's what you'll do, and I know you will, to justify it. But the 800 number is phenomenal. So there's no way that you can tell me otherwise. That's just straight out bogus. There's something going on in our society today. There's something going on today that says, this is okay. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is that's promoting this. I don't know who it is who's protecting this kind of behavior. But I'm hoping to talk about it, even if it's just me. Even if it's just me. Now, when I look at the background of Planned Parenthood, I look at a couple of stories that I've seen so far. This was an article actually that I saw. I saw on a website called blackgenocide.com or .org. I apologize, blackgenocide.org, and this particular article about Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, and how she believed that that black people and minorities, they needed to be purged from having babies. Sanger's advocacy of sex education reflected her interest in population control and birth prevention among the unfit. First handbook, published for adolescents in 1915 and entitled What Every Boy and Girl Should Know, featured a jarring afterword. It is a vicious cycle. Ignorance Ignorance breeds poverty, and poverty breeds ignorance. There is only one cure for both, and that is to stop breeding these things. Stop bringing to birth children whose inheritance cannot be wealth or intelligence. Stop bringing into the world children whose parents cannot provide them. And this is what Planned Parenthood does every day. Government funded at the rate of $400 million in the last and managed to help Margaret Sanger. But how about my favorite part of the story is the Margaret Sanger Award. Now, many of you may or may not know about the Margaret Sanger Award, but let's run down the list of people who've won this award. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and President Lyndon Baines Johnson won in 1960, first time the award was ever given. In 1960, John D. Rockefeller III. Even most recently, I laughed when I saw it. But in 2009, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton was awarded the Margaret Sanger Award. So, what does that tell you? What does that tell you about the world that we live in today? We can government fund over 300,000 children being killed, because that's what they were. They were killed. You could use the word abort. You can use the word fetus. Bottom line is, they were killed. If it's a life inside of a life, and a life is exterminated, it has been killed. I'm not going to go and use any harsh words like murder. But killed is what that is. That's what those doctors do. They exterminate. Is that too harsh? Is that too harsh of a word to use? Exterminate? I hope I'm not being too cruel. But if we saw that number anywhere else in the world, what would we be thinking? What would we be saying? Are we only partial? Are we only partial about who it is that we care about being exterminated? Come on, folks, that number is 800 a day. Can you imagine anywhere in the world where 800 people a day died? So I'd like to hear from you, and I'd love to hear what it is you have to say. You can give us a call at 347-308-8701. You can email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com or log on to reeseontheradio.com. Love to hear what you have to say about this topic. See, I knew when I had that conversation with James yesterday about the sanctity of a child or the dignity of a child when we were discussing what Alan Combs said about Rick Santorum taking his two-hour-old child home to play with his children when Rick Santorum simply wanted to show his dead son, Gabriel, to his children so they could affirm his existence. And Alan Combs referred to that behavior as wacky or out of the mainstream. Therefore, the mainstream, according to Alan Combs, is, you know, oh, baby only lasted 2 hours. Come on. You weren't that attached, were you? You couldn't have been. Nobody's that attached. It's only 2 hours. Like they've forgotten about the fact that the woman carries that child for 9 months. And that's almost being viewed as a burden when a woman carries that child in her womb. That's a burden on the woman. Oh, it's so bad. It's too bad that a woman has to carry that child for 9 months. So sad. So sad. That's why you hear all these knuckleheads talking about, you know, they only care about pro-life because they don't have to carry a child. That's why they believe that they can control a woman's body. And it has nothing to do with that. Never has, never will be. But it's always the argument. I just don't understand. I mean, I've seen, I got a niece who's pregnant now, who's currently pregnant. And she's, you know, she's in her late teens. And I would have, you know, I'd probably hoped that that wouldn't happen. I got another stepsister. She's just a year older, and she's pregnant as well. And I would have hoped that they would have waited later. But you know what? They're having their children. And they are. And their reasons are personal, whatever that might be. But they want their babies. They see their baby as a life. They see that baby as someone who deserves a life, life growing inside of them. They feel like it's a part of them. It's a part of who they are. And I commend them for understanding and recognizing that that child deserves dignity, deserves respect, deserves love, deserves honor, deserves to live. Which is the way that it should always be when it comes to life. It scares me how people are outraged at the Casey Anthony case. That poor girl died. But they are willing to argue tooth and nail about an unborn child in the womb of a woman and say that she has the right to destroy that life. So I guess it's, hey, once it's out of the womb, then we have to treat it like a real person. I mean, isn't that kind of what they're saying? Once the baby's out of the womb, then it's real. Inside the womb is, you know, just some bra with a fat belly. It isn't real. That's what Alan Combs said 2 days ago. That Santorum took his baby home so he could show his children that the baby was real. Because apparently to most liberals in this country, the baby isn't real until it's born. But before then, everything's up for grabs. That is scary, and it's sad. But it's the state of the world today, isn't it? I don't think anybody's got a real argument for me on this one. Because when they hear those numbers, they've got no argument. And that, you know, that's fine. If you chump out and you don't want to have the debate, and I completely understand that, that's fair. I don't expect you to have a good argument for this. But again, as I said, look at the numbers. The numbers are what they are. You can say nothing about them because Planned Parenthood, which advocates abortion, they put the numbers out. In their annual report from July 1st, 2009 to June 30th, 2010, they received $487.4 million in your tax money and performed 329,445 abortions. I love the picture. I love the picture that they put on this news report with the head of the president of Planned Parenthood, Ms. Cecil Richards, with President Barack Obama, who believes in infanticide. I believe in a speech he once said, he doesn't believe that if his daughter Malia had a baby, should have to live with the mistake. His words, not mine. He said if his daughter got pregnant, she shouldn't have to live with a mistake. When we come back from the break, I'll talk to you about the whole idea of why we're teaching people not to live with the decisions that we make, that we coddle them. We've punked our kids. We've made our children's chumps, suckers. Wussies. We've done that wholeheartedly. It's sad, but this is what we've done. We don't want our children to face the responsibility, their own responsibilities. That's why I say it's so brilliant using that line. I don't think Malia should have to live with her mistakes. She has unprotected sex, she gets pregnant, she should have a way out of her mistake, not deal with it, not be accountable. Everybody should have a way out. And that's what we've become. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about how it's affecting our children so bad. A 15-year-old girl in Staten Island took her own life. Walked in front of a bus because she couldn't deal. It's Reese on the Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. We'll be right back.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message. Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. The number's 347-308-8701. And that's ReeseOnTheRadio.com, ReeseOnTheRadio at Yahoo.com to send your emails, your hate mail, whatever it is you got. I'm interested in hearing that. I picked up the newspaper today, and I was saddened by something. That I didn't, probably because I've seen this story dozens of times in Boston and California, and you've seen the story as well. A lot of you may have seen the news about a young 15-year-old girl, sophomore in high school, who apparently took her own life because she was being bullied in school by the mean girls, as they're given that moniker. You know, the mean girls, you know, treated her mean and, you know, tormented her. And they say the young lady, the 15-year-old girl, put a suicide note in her pocket, and she ran it and walked in front of a bus in Staten Island. And the kids did cruel things even after the fact. Some kids posted on her Facebook account, LM. What's the silly acronym they use? Laughing my ass off. They use that. And she walked in front of a bus. You know, the kid said. You know, they're poking fun at the fact that she died. Now, there are plenty of dynamics of what I'm seeing here, and I want to use the first subject I brought up about, you know, Planned Parenthood and abortion and the sanctity of life and dignity. And I want to show you how the two sort of mesh and why I think that each of them is sort of they associate themselves in a very, very rare way. But a lot of people won't make the association, but I will. I'll do that for you. That's what I do. It's because we've diminished any bit of what we call parameters in our life. We've had to progress so much. It's been important for our society to progress so much that it's been at the risk of destroying what we have as a fabric of our society. Now, if you think about several things about this story, about this young lady, and I don't want to repeat her name. It's sad enough that she's died. But I look at the picture of a 15-year-old girl. She's got a piercing in her lip. She's wearing makeup. 15-year-old girl. Wearing makeup with a piercing. I don't know if she had a tattoo. I don't know what the kids are doing today, but each and every one of them, they're in a rush to grow up. Why? Because their life as a child has become meaningless. And this is what I'm arguing with you about the abortion issue, is that life has been so diminished through these policies that people think they're going to die any minute. They treat everything like it's going to be over tomorrow. That's why little girls can't wait to grow up. This young 15-year-old girl wrote in a suicide note that she couldn't live without this boy who had left her. How sad she was. 15? Does she even understand that when she's 20 years old, she's probably going to be like the most beautiful girl in the world, and every boy in the world is going to want to date her? She's going to have all her socialite friends. She's going to go out to, you know, clubs or whatever it is, and she'll be dressed nice, and the boys will be falling all over her, but she meets one 19-year-old boy, and that's it. It's all over. She doesn't even see a future. This is it. He left me. It's all I have. It's over. When did we become that society? When did we become the society that it's okay to just diminish our future? What we have now is that because we're teaching our children, and this is a problem, we're teaching our children to take advantage of everything it is that we have right now because you might lose it tomorrow. There's no prospects. Now, I'm not saying that every kid should dream about the future every day of their lives, but live your life. Live your life. Live every day, but not like it's your last. Live every day. There's a difference. Everybody else would tell you, live every day like it's your last. No, live every day. It's that simple. Not like it's your last. Please stop doing that to your kids. Stop doing that to anybody. Live your life. Enjoy the life that you have. When it's going to happen that you perish or you die, you expire, it's going to happen. But live your life not like it's your last. Because remember, if you live your life like it's your last, that means you're bound to do something reckless. Just live your life. Enjoy the life that you have. Enjoy the minute that you're in. And if some bum breaks up with you, so what? Now, I'm reading the article. In the article in the Daily News, you can look it up, about the Staten Island girl. You can read the article, and inside the article, when you read it, what scares the hell out of me is that the mean girls had ridiculed this 15-year-old. Folks, get it through your head. I want you to hear that number, 15. It said the mean girls would ridicule her about her heels and about her makeup. Folks, there's a 15-year-old girl going to New Dorp High School in heels and makeup. 15? 15? I dare somebody to call me an old fogey. Come on. Come on. When you start calling me an old fogey, and at the same time you see these older guys sleeping around with these 15-year-old girls, the first thing you want to scream is statutory rape, you know, abuse of a child. Kid gets arrested, he's registered as a sex offender. But a 15-year-old girl is going to school with heels and makeup? Like what? Like an adult. Why was she growing up so fast? It's sad to see the family sitting around mourning the loss of their child and willing to blame everybody else. These girls bullied her. They treated her so awful. Someone's got to pay. Someone did pay. That 15-year-old girl. She paid with life. Because she let the outside world dictate who she was or who she was supposed to be. And there was no sanctity of life. Being 15. All she wanted to be was the 20-year-old girl she sees on TV. Or the other cute girl in school. That's all she wanted to do. That's what she wanted to be. She had no sanctity of her own life. Everything she did was about what everybody else had done to her. Everything. Think about it. Everything that she did was about everything everyone done to her. Or everyone was going to do to her. It wasn't about her love. It wasn't about her caring, about her caring parents, her caring family. It wasn't about anything. Would that 15-year-old girl have killed herself if her mother had punished her and told her she couldn't go out to a party or go outside and be with her friends for a month? Would she have killed herself? If her father had taken away her cell phone and her computer and all media access, it told her that she needed to step up her grades and become a better student. Would she walk in front of a bus? Would that happen? A 19-year-old boy broke her heart, and she took her life. Where in her life did a 19-year-old boy she barely knew become more important to staying alive, to be with her family, to be a member of her family? When did that become more important than her being a member of her family? Her loving mother, loving father, loving uncle, loving cousin, loving sister, loving brother, whomever. When did this 19-year-old boy who thought she was cute, thought she was a nice girl, whatever, who cared about her, probably kissed her, whatever, gave her a first kiss, made her feel important, when did he become so important that she took her own life? When did that happen? I would like to know. And there are girls out there as young as 13 killing themselves. They're doing it every other year. I hear about a girl who's done this, that take their own life because they're being bullied. Because what's going outside of their home is more important. Now, I'm not trying to rip apart her family. But we're losing focus here. We're losing a lot of focus here. We've diminished families through the way that we live today. Abortion will always be the precipice of that, in my opinion. Because the sanctity, the dignity of life must begin there. And if we are not raising our children to understand the sanctity of life, the importance of life, the dignity of life, the only thing our children will try to capture is what they see on TV and what they see in their peers and what they see in school and what they see on MTV. That will always be what it is that they see. So we must begin again from the beginning, from the start. Call it sad. I may be out of touch. I don't think so. I know I'm not out of touch. But I've watched this diminish for years now. And I'm only frightened for the families who have to deal with this, who wake up in the morning and don't know whether or not their children are going to be coming home, or whether or not their children are going to walk out their door and they're going to be strong enough to deal with it. Have we raised our children to be, I don't know, punks? Soft? I kind of. Because we don't allow our kids to be accountable. You know, the kid goes to school and they're worried about being cool because of what some other 15, 16, 17-year-old says. And they don't have any self-esteem. They don't know that they dictate what's cool. They have to live for themselves. If they don't understand that, then there's something really, really going on. And maybe it's the parents. I don't know. But there's something happening that we're not teaching our children to be, I don't know, self-reliant. I don't want to use the word self-important because that would almost seem like I'm asking kids to be narcissistic. But in some ways, you have to. I got to look at a 15-year-old girl. If I found out that she was sad about a 19-year-old boy, I got to look at her and go, hey, whatever. You're a pretty young lady. This is not the last boyfriend you're ever going to have. This is not the last heartbreak you're going to have. You're going to have plenty. It can't be so bad that you want to jump in front of a bus. It can't be. But what made her think that? What made it think it was so bad? Because she wasn't accustomed to her own tears? She wasn't capable of dealing with her own tears, her own sorrow, her own sadness. Why was she not prepared for that? Why was she not prepared for pain? Perhaps because we coddle our frickin' kids. And we steer them away from those things. Perhaps we give everybody a trophy at soccer games and baseball games. Perhaps we keep telling all of our children, you're all winners, even when you lose. That when they really, really suffer loss, when they really, really suffer through pain, they don't know how to cope. They're unprepared to cope. So when real pain and real trauma affects them, what happens? They run in front of a bus. Which breaks my heart. I mean, it does. It kills me. The number is 347-308-8701. I know a lot of you are checking out the show online, and I appreciate that. But it's sad. It's extremely sad to see this young lady. To give you an idea of how horrible this story is, let me give you what the Daily News has said. Some tips for parents: if you think your child is being bullied or suicidal, tell the child it's not his or her fault. More coddling. Ask them who is doing the bullying, what specifically happened, and when. Keep a written record of what your child tells you. Find out how your child responded to the bullying and find out if anyone was a witness. Okay, I'm getting very lost here. Tell school staff and ask what can be done to make the child feel safer. There's no conflict in this. We don't teach children how to deal with conflict here. Explain to the principal how the situation is impacting the child's behavior. And what the hell is the principal supposed to do? She didn't kill herself in school. In this particular case, the girl went out, said she was going to a friend's house, and ended up in front of a bus. Tell the principal, wait a minute, I'd like to investigate that for a little bit. Explain to the principal how the situation is impacting the child's behavior. And the principal is supposed to do what? I wonder how that's a remedy, and I'd like to look that up. I'm probably going to do that in the next break. Well, what kind of conflict resolution that is. If the school's response feels inadequate, seek help from a parent. I'm sorry. Oh, from a parent center or bullying democracy organization. What the hell is that? What is a bullying advocacy organization? They don't have anything to combat this. None of this is teaching your children that, hey, sometimes people are pricks. It doesn't teach your child, hey, you know what? Sometimes people are going to make fun of you. But you know what? Here's how you deal with that. You fight back. And I'm not talking physically, but you find a way to fight back. Bullies only respond to people who are weak. That's who they respond to. They look for weakness. That's how a bully gets the edge. I should know. I'm formerly bullied. Had a bully named Cornflake. Used to kick my ass every chance he got. Chase me down and try to take my money. I know what a bully is like. I dealt with a bully every day, and I'm telling you, I got stomped several times in dealing with a bully. There was once when I thought about killing myself. Just because I was getting my ass kicked, I'm not afraid to get my ass kicked. Sometimes you got to take an ass whipping. But I don't think these kids are prepared for that. So the young kids in the urban streets, they get an ass whipping, they grab a gun. The young kids in the suburbs, they get an ass whipping, they kill themselves. I mean, come on. Is that the duality? I don't even know how to phrase it. What's going on? Our children are chumps, wusses, cannot deal with adversity, never have, never will be, because parents are coddling them and not preparing them for the real world, how to fail, how to lose, when and how to win. Take a loss, take the L, take the lumps. You'll be better for it. You can't win all of them all the time. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to have heartbreak. You're supposed to have turmoil. You're supposed to have trials and tribulations. Those things you're supposed to have. Because if you can't, you're never ever going to be prepared when the real crap hits the fan. And trust me, it will when you get older. What's going to be the remedy if you've never ever told your children how to deal with adversity? That's going to be the bottom line. It's sad, but it's true. It'll always be sad. And it'll always be true. But the poor young girl lost her life. She took her own life. I can't even say that. Look, even that sound like one of these coddling parents. She lost her life. She took her life. And it's sad. Her parents, you know, they don't have their 15-year-old daughter anymore. And, you know, they'll grieve for the rest of their lives. And, you know, she thought she was walking away from her pain. She doesn't even understand that the pain that she walked away from only added more pain in the lives of the people who loved her dearly, or who claimed to love her dearly. I'm not calling her selfish, but I'm saying that it's clear that she didn't understand there's much more to life than some 19-year-old boy and a couple of bullies in high school. All of those things end, those things pass, those things Those things aren't always there. Things get better. They always do, and then they get worse again. We call that the cycle of life. And it is. It's the cycle of life. I really, really feel for her parents. Really feel for her parents. But more so, I'm angered. I'm angered at the state of our youth today. Dare I say it? No, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say something very, very harsh. But her parents deserve better. Her family deserved better. And she knows it. Whether here in purgatory, in heaven or hell, she knows it. She knows that her parents deserve better. And she took that away from them. She took a light out of their life. And over a 19-year-old boy. And unfortunately, I think personally, I think it's her parents' fault. If there's anybody who should pay, and they have dearly, it's her parents. They're the ones who didn't take the initiative to make sure that she was prepared for life. And she was prepared for the heartbreaks. That's just me. I can't even talk about it anymore. Anyway, when we come back, it's the Iowa caucus. We'll talk about who won, who lost, who's gone, who I think's going to win. Trust me, you'll be stunned. Because I don't think that who people think is going to win is going to win. We come back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. You can log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and you can also email us at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. We're here. Another 2 hours. Stick around.
Scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America.
finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for President.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for President, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for President.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool, walk, talk, dress, mannerisms? We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool.
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before. So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, that's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech. And the candidate said, that's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Mary had a little lamb and sleeping by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. Just after 8 o'clock, wherever it is that you are, Eastern Standard Time. Some of you may have checked out the Iowa caucus. Some of you had no choice, because that was the only thing on TV. I know I checked it out. I actually did most of my work online, so I didn't even bother to check out the news programs or the any of the press conferences and the speeches last night and who won, who's happy that they won, and who lost, and who's angry that they lost. I didn't watch any of that stuff. I watched it later on. Most of my news, I unfortunately get it online. Although I love TV, most people will tell you I'm a television fanatic. I can't help but watch television. It was sad to watch Newt Gingrich lose, because he's kind of, for me, the dark horse in all this. And a lot of people don't know Newt Gingrich. I know a lot of liberals. They can't stand him. I hate him. Number's 347-308-8701. Again, it's Reese on the Radio. 347-308-8701. Log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio, or you can email me at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. People don't like Newt Gingrich, and I know why they don't, because Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House during America's favorite president of recent history, Mr. William Jefferson Clinton, Mr. Bill Clinton. And I love how most Negroes and Latinos and liberals like to pretend like Bill Clinton was a great president, balanced the budget, got people off welfare and into the job force. Truth be told, Negroes, Hispanics, and liberals, that was Newt Gingrich. Although you fail to realize it. That's right. When the man took over the House of Representatives and became the Speaker of the House, he pulled that left-leaning liberal from Arkansas all the way from the left side, dragged his pasty ass over to the right, and forced him to sign legislation that made it better for blacks and Latinos and liberals in this country. A balanced budget. People off welfare, off the dole, and got them jobs. And that was the initiative of Newt Gingrich. So when you were sitting out there touting Mr. William Jefferson Clinton, you need to be giving those props to Newt Gingrich. I know you don't want him because he's a Republican, and that's what you're supposed to hate. You hate him all day. Now, look, I got some problems with some other past things that he said. Sometimes he's a little bit inconsistent, but I have to be honest with you. If you're going to give Clinton the credit, you must give Newt Gingrich the credit, because it was him. Bottom line. That's it. Bottom line. Now, I don't want Mitt Romney. It's never, ever going to happen on this. On this radio show, there'll never be an endorsement here. We'll run his commercials, but there'll never be an endorsement here. He's never going to be the guy in my book. I want this to be the second time he tries, and I want that to be it. Get out of it. Go do something else. I cannot have this guy, because people keep thinking he's the best guy to win. And there's only one reason why they think he's the best guy to win. Because they think that he's going to get those people who are middle of the road. Those middle of the road independents, who I like to call wusses who can't choose a party. That's who you are. I don't want to be Democrat or Republican. They're both corrupt. I want to be in the middle, sucker. You're a chump. You don't want to express your conservatism or your liberalism. You don't want to stand firm. I call you a wimp. You're a coward. Why are people so damn afraid of being either called a conservative or a liberal? If you're a liberal, stand by it. But those people who are afraid, they're sick and tired of being pigeonholed. I'm an independent. That means that you can swing any way you want. Right? Does that mean you go both ways? Is that what it means? That means you go both ways? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I'm an independent. Okay. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I get it. I get it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's who it is that you are. That's who it is that you're going to be. Fine, I'm dealing with that. But yeah, as you saw the results, Mitt Romney wins by 8 votes. Rick Santorum in second place. Ron Paul in third. Newt Gingrich bringing up the rear. And then, look, I wasn't a fan of this girl, but, you know, for me it's sad because it shows you that women in politics, they're never, ever, ever, ever. Hillary Clinton was the closest. She ran up against your boy, Barack Obama. It's scary because you know what? I'm going to go into a little bit of history. I don't want to digress, but follow me here. Hillary Clinton was the closest that ever, ever came to being a Democratic nominee, and there was a strong chance she would have been president of the United States because the momentum was very, very strong for Democrats in 2008. But the bottom line is I want you to really, really think about this as a society. Black men got the opportunity to vote before white women. And here it was. They had a choice between a black man or a white woman to be the next president of the United States. And they chose the black man. Think about that. She was just about to crack the ceiling. I mean, it's scary because, I mean, I know what the argument is about women being low on the totem pole. But if that doesn't tell you, because you can say all you want about racism. But America isn't racist. They can be racist, you may claim they are. But they're more sexist than they are racist. Because the Democratic Party, they chose that black man over that white woman. And she had 18 million votes to his 19 million. And they took him. He said, you know what? We like chicks, but we don't like them in power. Democratic Party did that. Democratic Party did that. And, you know, the rest of the world, they sure enough did it with that Sarah Palin. They made sure that that woman got nowhere near the White House. Cannot have it. So maybe the society that we live in isn't as progressive as you guys claim it is, or you think it is. You'll probably hire a Hispanic or an Asian guy to be president before you bring a woman in. I bet you. I'm willing to put money on that right now. Marco Rubio, 2016. Come on, Marco Rubio. That's a congressman from Florida for all you knuckleheads who don't know. But I need that man. I'm loving that man. So anyway, as I said, Michelle Bachmann, she quit. She dropped out. I didn't think it was going to be this early. I thought she'd live to fight another day, but she didn't. Here's her, that was part of what she said and how she decided.
And so last night, the people of Iowa spoke with a very clear voice. And so I have decided to stand aside. And I believe that if we are going to repeal Obamacare, turn our country around, and take back our country, we must do so united. And I believe that we must rally around the person that our country and our party and our people select to be that standard bearer. But make no mistake, I'll continue to be a strong voice. I'll continue to stand and fight for the country and for the American people and for our freedom because Mr. Franklin and all the founders, all the men, all the women who have given their last full measure of devotion in our military, our veterans, are watching us. They're expecting us to
stand. Well, that's pretty much what she had to say. And so it was very, very lackluster. It wasn't a lot of screams and hollers, you know. We love you, Michelle. You know, it wasn't a lot of rally. It was very, very somber. I felt awful for her. Not so much just because she's a woman. It's because, she really, really had a shot. But this country's never, ever going to be prepared for a woman to be president of the United States for a long time. And that's a sad thing. It's a very, very sad thing. When I was a kid, I don't know whether or not anybody here remembers this, but the one issue we used to have with women being candidates was guys always said, whatever happens if it's that time in a month, will she push the button? That was a very, very sexist. And that was only the 80s, but that's what they would say very often. Oh, man, what would happen if, she got into an argument with her husband? Would she press the button? And so, you can say all day that this country has progressed, but it hasn't. Not so much that a woman has to be in her place. Not so much that women cannot be CEOs or not. But there's a problem in that regard. And that's where the problem lies. It's funny because I talked to I went to Occupy Wall Street over the summer. And I talked to a couple of people there. And, they've made a lot of arguments, and you've heard them. But I had one particular argument with a young man, and he was talking about women. Why don't women make as much money as men? You know, why do they not make, men, for every dollar, I think women are at 74 cents or something like that. I don't know. I can't tell you what the number is, but I'm certain it's below 80 cents on every dollar a man makes. And I gave them an honest answer. There is an honest answer to that. And the answer is pregnancy. It's that simple. See, a man can't get pregnant. Man can't take, has no excuse for taking time off. He can't get pregnant. He won't get pregnant. And if he does get his wife pregnant, there's no reason for him not to be at work. He is indisposable. We hire you for a job. You can do the job. I know that I don't have to worry about you waking up one day and telling me, hey, yes, me and my husband have decided to have a child. Oh, are you kidding me? You got these big clients. We got this bigger. What are you going to tell her? What are you going to tell a woman? You're going to tell a woman, hey, you can't have a baby now. It's a very, very important year for the company. And she'll scream all types of bloody murder, and you got sexual harassment and all that other stuff. It's gone. So that's the reason why. You're never, ever going to hear once from a guy, hey, what's up, John? How are you? Yeah, I got Emily pregnant. I'm going to need 6 months after the second trimester. Your boss is going to look at you like you're a knucklehead. So the guy's never, ever got a reason to take a day off. So he's going to be paid because he's indisposable. He's paid for his worth. Now, I'm not saying that a woman's worth is minimal. But it is minimal to that of a man's. Because a man won't be called off to take care of being pregnant. It's the most important factor there is. Man can't get pregnant. Man can work all year. Man will work all year, never take a vacation. I know plenty of guys, work 4 or 5 years, haven't had one vacation. Haven't taken one vacation. Woman? Young woman? A young professional? Now, until she tells, and she can't ever, ever predict that, but a woman can't predict that she's not going to meet a guy, fall in love, and have a baby. She can't. And no employer is going to be able to predict that for himself, for the person that he's going to hire. So what do you think is going to happen? The thing that's going to happen is what always happens, is that the woman's going to be paid for her ability to serve. And if 74, 76, 78, 80 cents on every dollar that a man makes, hey, if I look at it at 20 cents as the difference, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think anybody should. See, then you go back into that argument about a woman screaming, what she's due. So there's no argument there, right? Woman's right to choose, huh? Woman's right to choose. She's getting pregnant whenever she wants, her body. I could work for a company that needs me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but if I get pregnant and they got a problem with it, I could sue them. Haul their asses into court and take a bundle. And that's exactly what they'll do. So please, women, stop complaining about you not making the same amount of money as a man. You can't do what a man can do. And that's work every day, every month of every year. You can't do it. You're incapable. I mean, unless, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to get your tubes tied? You're going to take away every chance for you to ever have children? Is that what you're going to do in order for you to compete? So you're saying that I should pay you the same amount as a man when you can up and dodge anytime you feel like it. But I'm supposed to be able to compensate you for that and pay you the same amount as a man, but you will be, you can be, you go AWOL anytime you want. You want that kind of control over the employer. You really, really think that's going to happen? Stay in your place. All right, that was a little cruel. I know I'm going to get some hell for now. I'm sorry, you're a woman. That's the deal. I cannot give you everything that I give to a guy who can be there at every moment. It's just not going to happen. So please stop complaining about it. Just stop. Now, when you get past that threshold where you can have children, you know, when you're at the point of hot flashes, hysterectomies and all that other stuff, give me a call. You know, you'll be all right. But no female executive who can still bear children is ever going to get paid what a man gets paid. It's just never, ever going to happen. 347-308-8701. Again, 347-308-8701. Let's go to the phones. Who's on the line? Hello?
Reese, you should have known better.
I knew I was picking up.
I just started listening to you, and I cannot believe that as soon as I chime in to listen, you begin to talk about this ridiculous subject.
Oh, it's ridiculous now.
Listen, first of all, we are in 2012. Women get pregnant nowadays, and men are allowed to take time off to spend time at home with their children. I've seen it done at my company. As a matter of fact, my boss took, I don't know what they call it, I think they just call it paternity leave instead of maternity leave, but he took, I think it was about 6 weeks off.
They
paid him for that.
Well, he's a sucker.
They paid him for that.
He's a punk. He's a wimp.
Oh.
What does he need to be home for 6 weeks? He need to be home for 6 weeks for what? He still got to earn a living. Yeah, and he got paid for it, and he got paid. When did we ever do this? We didn't do this 20 years ago. Men didn't
welcome to the new world.
Well, no, forget about the new world.
Because
that doesn't mean that it's
it
right.
Now.
It doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't matter that we're doing it now. It doesn't mean that it's right.
Are you really trying to sit here and defend right or wrong? Because there are several things that you just said that in many people's opinion would be considered dead wrong. Women are disposable. We can't work as hard. We can't this. Let me tell you something.
You can. No. Women, I said that. Women can work as hard, but women are not at the disposal of their employer in the way that a man is, because a woman can get pregnant. Now, listen, if I hire a girl right out of college, she's 21 years old. Now, she's right now, at 21 years old, fresh out of college, she probably has a boyfriend, or she's probably going to meet someone very, very soon. She's starting her life. So let's say I hire her at age 21 at $30,000 a year. She's an administrator and something or whatever it is, and, you know, she can get a bump in pay.
Oh, she has to be an administrator because she's a woman, right?
No. An administrator. I didn't say she was an administrative assistant. I said an administrator. Now, see, I know, I do this. I've been doing it for a long time. I choose my words carefully because I know what I'm talking about. Now, what I said was she's an administrator. She deals with a bunch of people. She's dealing with the staff. She's telling them what to do. She's delegating in the whole nine yards. She's at the prime of life. She's grown up. So maybe she works for me and never, ever takes a day off for 5 years. But she meets Brad, and Brad works at another firm. And Brad and her decide that they fall in love and they want to get married. And guess what? What happens when she gets married? She goes off on her honeymoon for 3 weeks because she's worked for me for 5 years, so she's earned it. Goes away for 5 weeks. They get together. She comes back. She works for me for another 3 years. And Brad says to her, "Hey, Amy, I want to start a family." So they start working on having a baby. And one day when she's walking in and she's really, really somebody who the company really needs and relies on, and then she walks into her supervisor's office or her boss's office, and she goes, "Guess what, John? Me and Brad are expecting." And then he looks at her and he goes, "Great." And that's what he's thinking. He's going, "Great. Amy, I need you. You can't tell me that you're pregnant right now." "Well, why? What do you mean? Nobody ever told me it was going to be a problem if I have a baby." And you know they should have, but if they had, if they said, "Hey, you're planning on getting pregnant," if they had even asked her that in the interview, in the entrance interview, they would have said, if she did ask you, "Hey, are you planning on getting pregnant?" Of course she couldn't answer that. And how dare you even ask it? It's my body. How dare you ask me about my personal life in that manner? So remember, what a guy is doing, as far as a business is doing, is they're protecting themselves. So I'm not going to pay somebody a crap load of money who can inadvertently come up and say, "Hi, John, me and Brad are pregnant." I'm not doing it. So women are being paid at the compensatory level, and that's exactly what it is. It's because of factors like that. Now, if it's a woman who's in her 60s, or maybe it's a woman in her late 50s, and she can't have any babies, you can have the same pay as the guy who works right next to you. You can have his pay. If he gets paid $75,000 a year, you get paid $75,000 a year, because I know you're not going to walk in here and go, "Brad and I are pregnant," because the first thing I would say was, "How the hell did that happen?"
Okay, so wait a minute, okay? I'm not even going to go back to any of the things. So let's move forward. Now, we are in the year 2012. Same-sex couples are able to legally get married in certain states. You are allowed to put each other on your insurance plans. Same-sex couples are constantly adopting babies or having surrogate mothers and things of this nature. So who out of the same sex relationship in a homosexual relationship or a man-to-man relationship that they decide, "Oh, we want to have a baby and we're going to get a surrogate," who's going to go home and take care of the baby?
Are you suggesting, hold on, now, it's funny that you mentioned same-sex couples. Now, right. Now, in a same-sex marriage, right, if it's girl on girl and guy on guy, are you telling me that those people should be paid the same amount? So now you're telling me that if a gay woman walks into the office and she gets hired for a job, she can say, "Hey, by the way, you don't have to pay me at 80 cents on the dollar. There's no chance of me getting pregnant because I'm in a gay relationship." Is that what you're telling
me? No, my point is that you should get paid based on your credentials.
No.
Not based on your, whether you're male, female, homosexual, lesbian, whether you're a female and you decide not to have children, as I am a 37-year-old woman that does not have any children and probably will not have any children. I don't want to go into any boardroom or any office to go on an interview and anyone look at me for anything other than what I am bringing to the table. You should pay me the same thing that you would pay John that's sitting next to me if we bring the same thing to the table.
Okay, but hold on. As a business owner, let's take your profession. Let's say, okay, and I'll take any profession. Let's take a doctor's office, right? Doctor's office, a private practice, he has a receptionist, right? She's a young girl. She's about 26 years old. She's worked for him for about 3 years. She has a baby. I don't want to even throw into complications, but she gets pregnant. She has a baby. She stays on the job while she's pregnant until the third trimester, and then she goes home. Now, she's worked with the company long enough that she can get paid for maternity leave. So the company is paying her to be out of work. While they're doing that, they hire a temp to then pay as well. So they've got double payment going on as a company. Get my point? You see where this is going, right? This is costing the company more money. So to compensate for that extra expense, I paid the woman less money than I would a man if he were doing it. Because if the guy was doing it, I know there's not going to be a chance he's going to come to me and tell me and Brad are pregnant. I know it's not going to happen. You see my point?
You sound like a buffoon.
No, how do I sound like a buffoon? You can't defend it. You cannot defend it.
No, I can defend it because, first of all, most people are not getting paid for the work that they do. Most people are underpaid. Most people are underpaid. Not everybody is. And there's a lot of people that are overpaid. And if you would pay people based on the work that they do, and you know what? As a matter of fact, I think that there is, before I even get into any of that, I think that there is some way from insurance companies or something like that for the company not to lose any money when they pay a woman maternity leave. I think there's something in there. I would have to research that and get back to you on another show about that.
I
will.
I think you're out of touch, but stay on the line, and we'll come back because I want to talk about this. Because you're a woman, and I always love a woman's perspective, no matter how out of touch it may be. But we'll get it out.
Okay. Okay, sexist. You are a sexist.
I'm not a sexist. I'm a realist.
And I know you personally, Reese.
It's Reese on the radio. It's Reese on the radio, 347-308-8701. Stick around.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich.
In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And you know, you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
We're back. It's Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. And you can email us, of course, if you will, at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. That's ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. Please check out the website. That's ReeseOnTheRadio.com. I got an email. I figured I have to share. It says, you come across like a Neanderthal. I'm embarrassed for you. I don't know how I could possibly come off like a Neanderthal, but you know what? I'm willing to accept that. You know, if you don't agree with me, absolutely fine. I don't expect anybody to agree with me. That's why they're my opinions. And it's not about being a Neanderthal. I'm not saying, again, I'm not diminishing a woman's worth. We're talking about a woman's pay, not a woman's worth. We're talking about a woman's pay. And if you think that a woman's worth is only measured by her pay, then you're missing the whole thing. And as most people would, you're getting caught up in something that doesn't make any sense. If you're telling me that a woman's worth is based on her pay, if you think that, then you that's crazy. If you heard the beginning of the show when I talked about the sanctity of life, you would have understood that what I'm saying is that everybody's life is precious, every bit of it. But we're talking about business. We're talking about money. Money is completely different. The two don't go hand in hand. They never will. They never shall. They don't go hand in hand. I'm talking about whether or not a woman is at the disposal of her employer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whether or not she's paid. She should be paid. She's not. That's just a fact. She's not. And no one can predetermine whether or not she is or isn't going to start a family or become pregnant. When she leaves that company and she gets paid for maternity leave and she's at home tending to her child, she is not being a productive member of the unit at her job. She's not. And what most people are suggesting is that she should be paid for not being a productive member of that unit. And that's bull. It's just crap. So calling, and I appreciate the email because I know that where that's coming from, and it's an emotional place because people take this subject very sensitively. You know, and I understand if you're a woman, you look at this in a sensitive place. If you're a guy and, you know, you really are an advocate for women, which I am, you look at, I'm not looking at it from that. I'm looking at it from a practical place. I'm not coming from someone, from my heartstrings. I'm not coming from my emotions. I'm coming from facts, and facts are facts. You may not like them, but they are. And if you run a business, and a lot of these people who have these opinions don't run their own business. They don't know what it's like that a company has to deal with situations like that and how they need to counter those situations. Because that's what a person does. If you come into my office and you work for me and you've been there for 5 years and you become, and you do what it is that you're supposed to do, you become an asset to my company. And that's what most people want to do when they join a company. You come in, you learn the ropes, you become very, very familiar with what it is, the ins and outs. You become so reliable that the boss, the guy who owns it, he goes right to you because you know everything it is about the company. You know the ins and outs, the ups and downs, everything. You're the guy, the girl, whatever. You are that person. You have become a valuable member of that staff. For you to be taken out of the equation, for you to leave that job, for something as personal as having a child, where it may take you a considerable amount of time, it's not that I have no empathy or no understanding of that situation. Yes, God be with you. God bless you. What a beautiful member of your family. I'm so happy for you. But I've still got a bottom line. I've got a business to run. And you can't come back to a job that fails miserably. If you are one of those huge cogs in a wheel and you're gone, I have to get somebody to start from scratch to do your job. And that means that all of us have to pull our weight, and that means we're going to fall behind the wayside because an and what do you come into a job to only do a half-assed job? Do you come into a job to only do part of the job? You come in there and you do the best job that you can. You come in there to be part of a unit. You come in there to make sure that you are a working part of that unit. And that what you do is invaluable, that I can't replace you. That's called job security. And if you're gone, if you're not there, that means that things lag at my office. So if you're telling me that I should compensate you, the risk that you will be out for a certain amount of time and I may lose money because, or I have to spend extra money in order to cover, you know, your absence, then you can understand where I'm coming from. And most people don't come at this from a practical matter, from a business point of view. And they can't because they're too busy thinking about the social ramifications of what I said. Oh, she's a woman. What you're saying is sexist. What you're saying is wrong. Well, think about the business. He's still got to survive. Remember, if his business survives, you've got a job to come back to. After you've had your medical leave or your, you know, your maternity leave, whatever it is, the company is a success. Now, we're not saying that a woman is sabotaging a company by getting pregnant. I'm not even suggesting that. But I'm being, this is what the practice, you have to think about that. Forget about what you think that I'm saying here. You can have any opinion about me. Think about the practical in what it is that I'm saying. He's got a business to run. He's the one that gives you a paycheck. And his company has to thrive in order for you to be able to take that leave. In order for you to be able to have a child and take maternity leave and you to be paid for it. That means the business has to continue to be a success. But you didn't go into that business to only be a small wheel. You went in there and you were probably in an integral factor. Maybe you're the receptionist. You know, the person who, I don't care what anybody says, people can rag on receptionists all day, but they're the eyes, the ears, the brains of that damn operation. Receptionists, they keep every wheel spinning there because she knows who's calling, who's important, who's not important, who to take a message from, who to make sure. She knows everything. She's got her tentacles in everything. But what do you think is going to happen? When those tentacles are gone, you got to bring a temp in who doesn't know anybody. And you got to train her. Hey, listen, Mr. Bradley, he only gets calls after 12 o'clock. Mr. Smith, he only takes calls from this particular person. And you got to go through all that. And the person gets on the phone. Hi, I'm sorry, Mr. And the boss is paying for this temp, and he's paying for your leave. So he's being double dipped for less proficiency. think about that. He's paying out his pocket twice for less productivity. That's the practical nature of this. That's where I'm coming from. So if you're telling me that a woman should be paid at the same level, explain it to me from that respect. That's all I'm asking. Let's bring Mary back on the line. Mary, from what I just said, am I out of my mind?
I almost can't even respond to you, Reese, because I don't get it. I don't get where you are coming from. I just don't understand it. You should not ever pay a woman less because they had the ability of getting pregnant. First of all, they created you. And I can't curse on the radio, so I won't, but they created your butt. So if we wouldn't have created you, if we wouldn't have created the man that owns the company, of course, because it's a man that owns the company,
again,
then
you're
you
coming
would be
at,
here, and there would be no company.
Again, Mary, you're coming at me from the social aspect of the subject. I get that women are important and how relevant they are. They are our counterparts. You're missing my point. We're talking specifically about women's pay versus man's pay and why our society works the way that it does. The reason why a man makes more money than a woman does is because of what I just laid out for you.
And you know that, and you know that for a fact. These facts that you're laying
out? Look at what I'm saying. I just laid the scenario out. A receptionist who knows she has her tentacles in every person in that office. She is probably one of the most important people in an office building.
I understand that. I was a receptionist at some point in my life. I understand that.
So she gets pregnant. She has to train someone, and she's on paid maternity leave. That means the business is paying out their pocket twice for less proficiency. And what I'm saying to you is that makes no sense. No business wants to pay more for less. Why should they? So, of course, if they're paying a woman less money than they do pay a man, but the man is always there. Remember, if a man doesn't show up enough, he gets fired. They hire another man. But if a woman can't be there, and for obvious reasons, because she has a baby or maybe she has a medical issue that involves her child, but whatever it is that what he's doing is compensating that portion of the work. He's compensating himself. No business should have to double dip in order to compensate for less proficiency. And that's where I'm talking about. Everyone else is making this about women are important and women brought you into this world. I get it. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm no dolt. I'm trying to explain to you about business, is that no business would ever, ever double dip in payment or double dose in payment for less proficiency. No business should. It would be the horrible or the worst business model ever. And I want you to look at it from that perspective. Forget about what it is you think about.
Believe you me, in some way, somehow, they're making up for that money, Reese. Somehow, that money is coming from somewhere.
Okay.
If you're in any type of business that is going somewhere, you're making up for that some way, somehow. You're either getting a tax break for it. You're getting that money back.
You sound like Occupy Wall Street. Listen to what I just said. Forget about how they're making up the money. I'm dealing with very specific points. Can you argue the specific point I made? Should you? Would you? Now think about this, okay? You've only got one babysitter in the neighborhood, okay? She knows everything there is to know about your child. She takes sick leave because she's going to have a baby, but she gets a paid sick leave, and she brings in one of her friends, which you pay her and pay your normal babysitter on sick leave. You're spending more money for somebody who knows less about your child. Think about that. You would not do it. No person in their right mind would spend more money for less product. You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't go into something saying, oh, you're a woman, so I'm going to have to pay you a little bit less because there's a possibility that you may get pregnant, and then I'm going to have to make up for that, for those losses.
But again, when women make the argument that they get paid less than men, this is what businesses are doing and what the whole deal is, why they're doing it that way. The reason why they're doing it that way is
I don't believe that's the sole reason. I don't believe that that's the sole reason on why. That is not the sole reason on why women get paid less.
Tell me what you think the sole reason is, because I know that's the sole reason.
I think that there are many factors. I think that there are still a lot of people, men, that think that women are less than a man, that we're less worthy than a man is, or that we don't have as much responsibility as a man does in their personal life. So maybe they may pay men a little bit more because they feel like the man has got to make money for their family or whatever. But there are millions of single mothers taking care of more than one child and helping taking care of other households and doing it on their own.
Fine. Let's take that into consideration, Mary. I want to take what you just said into consideration. Let's take single mothers. Let's say there's a single mother of two children. There's no father in the household. Are you telling me that I should be paying this woman the comparable salary of a man when she's got two children at home, where she could be called away at any time for some incident, kid gets sick, hurt, whatever, an illness? Whatever it is.
Yes, because that's what you use sick time for. That's what you use paid leave for. And if you don't have sick time or paid leave, then you have to take that time off unpaid.
Okay, but again, the point is that if you have to take...
You as a company should be paying someone for what they are bringing to the table.
Okay, so...
Whoa. No.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
You just said it. That... You should be paid for what it is that you bring to the company. And if you're not bringing that, if you can't bring that 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but if you can't bring that 24-hour, 5-day-a-week ability to a company.
Who's working 24 hours a day for 5 days out of the week?
Fine. If you can't guarantee me 40 hours a week in 52 weeks, and there's a possibility that 1 week you're going to need 6 weeks off at any given time, because anybody gets pregnant at any time that they want. You can't guarantee that to me, and there's no guarantees. There's more of a guarantee for men than there is for women on how their lives are going to play out.
Men are more reckless than women. So maybe a man is going to get hurt. Maybe they're going to get into, God forbid, they're going to get into a motorcycle accident. Or God forbid they're going to, you know, get a drunk driving, a DUI, and they're not going to be able to come to work because they can't make it to work because they don't have a driver's license.
But
whatever the situation is, there's so many things that could happen.
But again, it's less likely that they'll get pregnant. Okay?
But being pregnant is not the only reason to be out of work.
It's a zero-sum game. Okay? You know that a guy is not going to need 6 weeks leave because he's pregnant. And a woman, that can happen at any time.
But the law states that if a man and his wife or his girlfriend or whomever have a baby, that the man can take paternity leave. There is a law for that.
So now are you going to start
paying men and women? Does that mean that men and women are going to get equal pay now?
No.
Since they can legally take that time off? It
means it's a stupid law. I think that guys are trying to use something to get over, and I'm appalled that men would use their wives' pregnancy as an opportunity to get out of work.
Why do you believe that it's just an opportunity to get out of work? Why can't you understand that maybe a man, just like you, wants to actually spend time at home with their wives during the first few weeks of the birth of their child and get to know them and bond and be a family unit and help their wife? After a woman has a baby, and you, depending on whether you have C-section, depending on whether you've had complications, there's a whole list of things that could happen.
He can do that when he gets married.
He can
do that when he gets home from work. He can do that when he gets home from work.
So if you had a major complication and you're basically bedridden or else you're going to bleed to death.
Oh, come on. Now, see, now you sound exactly like people in the first hour I was talking about with the whole, you know, rape and incest thing with abortions. People are talking about these outlandish, you know, scenarios with what if
you were talking about abortions? I wasn't even listening. I wish I would have heard that.
That's okay. But the point is that people come up with these outlandish scenarios in order to make their point, and it's ridiculous. You can't make these scenarios.
No. Okay, let's move beyond the outland. What you call the outlandish scenario? What is wrong with a man having the same right as a woman to spend time at home with their child, with their newborn child, and the mother to bond with the child and with the mother? What is wrong with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong.
That is what is wrong with the world today.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it, Mary. What I was saying was that if a man chooses to do that, you know, and if he's taking advantage of a woman's time to be at home, and he's using his job or this new rule that you say that companies are allowing for fathers to get paternity leave, unheard of. Where was this thing 50 years ago? I've never heard of it. But now fathers are taking maternity leave, which is
it happens at the company I work for.
Again, sounds pretty bogus to me. When have fathers ever done this? It's diminishing the role of a man. Man goes to work. Oh, man, I'm about to say something bad.
You already did.
Man goes to work. Woman stays home. If she's pregnant, she stays home with the baby. And yes, if the father, you know, the father's got to do his job. I'm sorry, maybe I'm from the old school. Maybe I'm being a little Neanderthal in that regard, but that's fine. But I'm not going to fall for the whole paternity leave. You got me. We're done. I'm done with believing that. There's no such thing.
Paternity leave.
I understand that there's a thing called paternity leave, but I disagree.
And what happens? Wait a minute. So let's touch the subject of what happens, which I've seen it happen to people that I know, that the mother has the baby, gives birth, and says, I'm signing over all my rights. Here, you take care of the kid because I'm out of here. Like when the same situation when a guy is not there. When you have single mothers, you have single fathers out there.
Well, no.
If that happens in that situation, then who takes care of the baby? Who stays home for paternity leave and takes care of the baby? The grandmother?
No. And you're absolutely right. There are scenarios where that happens. But, Mary, let's be fair. Those opportunities.
Be fair? Are you talking about being fair?
Let's be fair to the numbers. We know that those statistics where the father ends up being left with a newborn child are slim to none.
Those statistics are getting higher
They're not as high.
They're not as high, but they are increasing every single year. My nephew got married to this girl. He impregnated her. Then they decided, let's get married so we don't have this baby out of wedlock, and I love you, and I want to be with you, yada, yada, yada. We're young, blah, blah, blah. They get married. Everything's great. She has the baby. She's a horrible mother because she's addicted to drugs.
Okay.
My great-nephew is 6 years old. As of today, and since he was about one, my nephew has full custody for him because his mother is locked up in an institution in California because she could not stay off of drugs. And my nephew basically took care of that baby since the day he was born until now and will continue to take care of him. But it happens. Things happen. Circumstances happen. Whether it is as and whether the volume is equal or it's not, it still happens. And if you want to talk about being fair is allowing someone to have their rights and still get paid. So, I mean, do you think that if a woman, so you get paid less, how about you just pay them more, and if they get pregnant, you just fire them?
Look, all right. I'm going to answer that when we come back. We're going to take a break. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back. JC is going to get on the line. James is on the line. We're all going to come back, and we're going to talk about this. When we come back, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour. All right? This has turned into a heated conversation, obviously. But we'll be back. We'll be back shortly. It's Reese on the Radio. Number's 347-308-8701. If you'd like to chime in, please do. It's Reese on the Radio.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it. Grab it.
Mary had a little lamb and Jesus was his soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you. Reese.
All right, guys, we're back. It's Reese on the radio at Blog Talk Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. We are live. Thank each and every one of you for tuning in. I'm checking out who's tuning in, and you're there. I see you there. Thank you very, very, very much for checking us out. I don't want to say every day. So it's the second day. No, whatever. I'm not going to do that. But we're back right here, and I'm very, very happy to be here with each and every one of you. We got into a very heated discussion in the last hour. We've got Mary on the line. James has called in. He'd like to chime in. And the producer, JC, he's begging to jump in, too. So I think it's only right that we put everybody in. And everybody, you know, they can chime in and give their opinion. Because everybody's got one, apparently. And I look. If you missed the last hour, let me just recap. We were talking about Michelle Bachmann at first, and we're talking about how women have been treated over the years within politics, and how women today, societally, haven't been paid what many women or many women's groups have considered their fair share. You know, they make, you know, 80 cents, 86 cents. I think the number is somewhere around 85 cents or something like that on every dollar that a man makes. And I was talking about how women in the world, they can, you know, in any given moment, they can decide that, you know, they're going to be pregnant. And I thought cost effective wise, businesses are doing the right thing. So James is on the line. Mary's on the line. JC's on the line. James, I'll go to you.
Okay.
You're calling it now. What's your point?
All right, first, let me say one thing first and foremost. Ladies and gentlemen, the views and opinions expressed by Reese Hawkins are not shared by the rest of his gender. So let me just start by apologizing for that. Second, how dare you say some things like that, like you just said, especially coming from the families that we have. Now, we know each other. I know you. You know me. We've grown up. All right. First and foremost, not having our fathers around because for whatever reason, but mostly it was because, you know what, they had to do the work. They had to go out and bring home the bacon. But they were never home. You have a whole generation of young men, black, white, yellow, or chartreuse, of men who are being raised by TV, radio, hip-hop, and that nature because the men in their lives are not at home.
Okay.
What do you say about that?
Okay, what's your point?
My point is...
Oh, no, hold on. because you just made the same argument that Mary made. And I said, if you were listening, I'm not talking about the social dynamic of the issue. You're talking about the social ramifications, whether or not a woman is. No, no, hold on. Hold on, Jim.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I understand what it is that you're saying, that women today, especially single mothers, have to deal with things that most people don't have to deal with. What I'm saying in that respect is that if you believe that a woman should be paid, and we're only talking about the business aspect, you're talking about the social aspect. I'm talking about the business aspect. And
Let's talk about the business aspect and the fact that you have to take care of your workers. There is no productivity, none, if that father or if that mother is at your job and they're not paying attention to their job because they're worried about what's happening at home, then you're getting no production at all.
Amen.
Okay, so that being said, so hold on, Jamie, when I mentioned earlier, deal with the argument that I made a little while ago.
I am. And as I said,
let me
old adage, a happy worker is a productive worker. Now, the one thing that you go to work for is to take care of your family. But if you have to choose between work and family, what are you going to choose? What are most people going to choose?
Right. James, you're making a valid point. You're talking about the individual worker. I'm talking about the business that pays the woman 85% to the dollar of the man. I'm talking about that aspect. Give me, and again, I'll reiterate it. I have to reiterate it. As a business, if the woman has to take time off of work, right? The woman takes time off of work, and the business has to pay her for her maternity leave and pay a temp or a replacement. He's doing double duty as far as payment is concerned for less productivity. Don't talk about the social part. And I understand where you and Mary are coming from in the social part, but I need you to look at this because no one ever focuses on the business. I am not going to pay double the money for less productivity. And you think that they should. That's all I'm asking you is whether or not you think
that. Well, whether they
forget about it being that cut and dry. Forget about it being that cut and dry. Is look at the business perspective. If you ran a business.
Business aspect. Okay. As Mary had said, there are stipulations and fallbacks where you receive that money back. You are actually getting tax. You get tax breaks. You get incentives for these things. So from a business standpoint, if you're still going to get it back, and also you get more breaks. Nowadays, you get more breaks and more cuts and things of that nature.
There's no Jamie. Jamie, there's no break. I don't know any tax incentive that any business has ever had where he filed the tax and said, you know what, one of my employees had to go on maternity leave and I had to hire a temp and I paid double the money for that and I deserve a tax exempt for that. There's no business that does that. There's not one business that does that. Now, explain to me any business that has ever gotten a tax incentive for hiring double the people to do less the work. Tell me where that happens. It doesn't happen, and that's a fact.
It actually does. And
no, I can cite no law or find any law where a company has been compensated for paying two people to do less work. I can't think of it.
I can't quote you chapter and verse right now, and I'm not in front of my computer, so I can't Google it.
It's the crux of my argument, and you're ignoring it. Let's get JC's view. JC, what do you think?
That's basically the cost of doing business.
Oh, it's the cost of doing. Okay, good. You're right in my wheelhouse here. The cost of doing business. So you don't think that a company should protect itself? You don't think that a company should protect itself when situations like that happen?
Protect itself.
How are you protecting yourself?
How are you going to protect yourself?
Exactly.
You're not sharing the profits equally.
Here's how you protect yourself. By not paying that employee that may be, you know, it may be taken out of the equation. That woman may get pregnant. She comes out of the workforce. Okay. She goes home to take care of her children. I've got to hire a temp. I'm double paying for less productivity. And what I'm doing is by paying her less money, is to compensate for loss that I will have for that reason I just stated. Two people.
Okay, so you're saying, to not pay the guy that sits by his wife's bedside when she has cancer and she's on her deathbed.
Not true. I didn't say that. That's, again, mitigating factor. That factor is much less than the probability of a woman getting pregnant.
But do you really think people are going to
no,
make
but it
that
happens,
mitigating
though. It
factor?
Happens.
Oh, no. JC, I'm not disputing that it happens, but the probability is small. The probability versus a woman getting pregnant. Remember, the likelihood that you get pregnant versus the likelihood that your wife will get cancer, you need to take off work. Come on, man, those probabilities are very, very small.
Okay.
They're very, very small.
All right, the probabilities may be very, very small, but you also take into account that those same probabilities are taken into account whether it's a male or a female. That male may get hurt. He may get carpal tunnel. Things of that nature. You're going to lose production. These things happen. You have to take care of your workers. It's the cost of doing business. Because the alternative is, before you start jumping in, the alternative is, if you don't take care of your workers, you're not going to have any. And once you have no workers, then you have no business. So your doors shut down anyway.
But you're telling me that I should be paying people who may take leave because they're pregnant.
You pay people who may or may not come to work regardless of pregnancy or anything.
No, that's called
okay?
That happens regardless. Right.
That happens regardless. People get sick. People, they have accidents. Their families have tragedies. You pay people with the hope that they're going to produce.
Well, let's look at this from a societal level, James. Otherwise,
you might as well just automate everything and there you go.
Look at this from a societal level. Let's look at this from a societal level, since we must, because no one's paying attention to the business aspect of this.
Okay, I am paying attention. You're the only one who's, you know, the thing is, you're the one who wants to ram that home. But a business and business and society go hand in hand. It's not cut and dry. It's not black and white.
It is.
There is no one without the other.
It is black and white, James. But Mary, go on.
Can I chime in here real quick before you start talking about the societal aspect?
Right.
Okay, so even with your scenario, Reese, let's say you have a woman working for this company, working for Company A for 10 years, and for 10 years she has come to work every day or whatever, that she hasn't gotten pregnant and had to take any maternity leave. And for 10 years you've been paying her 15% less what you pay her coworker or her colleague. Now, for 10 years that's been happening. Now, in the 11th year, she decides she's going to get pregnant, or something happens and she gets pregnant. Now she has to take, what is it? I think it's 6 weeks you can get on maternity leave. She takes 6 weeks off. Now you have to bring in a temp, and you have to train this temp, and you pay this temp to take this person's position while she's out. Okay.
Right.
Then now that 10 years that you've been paying her 15% less than her colleague.
She got a raise.
Is that equivalent to 6 weeks, taking off 6 weeks to take care of your child?
No.
I'm
glad you said that.
And then you come back. Wait a minute, and then you come back, and you're still getting paid 15% less than your male colleague.
Fair enough.
And you continue to work there until
Fair
you
enough.
Retire.
Fair enough. And you know what? The bottom line is that you're talking, and you're taking this from a perspective of she only has one kid during the time she works for that company, let's say 20
well,
years.
Well, how many kids is she going to have?
Hold
come on.
Again, that...
Even if she has five kids, if she's been working for your company for... I know women... my aunt started working for Citibank right at... Actually, in her last year of high school until she retired in her 60s.
Mary, it cannot...
And she never... First of all, she never had a kid because she was not able to have children.
Well, that's
okay.
a different case. But again, Mary...
Second of all, wait a minute. So even, say you're working for a company for 45 years, which is possible. A lot of people nowadays don't do that, but it's possible. You're working for the same company for 45 years. Even
I know
if
people
it's
work
25 30. Years. 6 weeks, even if that's two or three times. Most people average two to three kids, right? Most
right.
families
yes,
average
yes,
two to three
yes.
kids.
2.5.
Okay, 2.5. So now that's 12. So
basically,
now that's
2.5 months.
But wait.
That's 15 weeks. That's 15 weeks. If you average it out, that's 15 weeks of maternity leave.
Again, no company can predetermine when a woman is going to get pregnant. So in order to prevent, listen, what I'm talking about is that a company, what they're doing is, I mean, it's cost effective. What it is that they're doing is a preventative measure. We're taking care of the business first. We, our employees are important to us.
That's the problem with the world today.
I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd say
that. Wake up and smell the coffee.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew bottom line.
That's the problem with the world today, and that's why the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
Now, again, you sound like Occupy Wall Street. You get right back to my point. I said no company can predetermine whether or not a woman is going to be pregnant or how many times she's going to be pregnant, and a company must protect itself. The company has to protect itself because they are an entity that must protect other employees.
They must protect themselves because they are greedy.
No,
because
that's not,
they are greedy. That
not,
is why they must protect
no,
themselves.
You're wrong. No,
greedy.
You're using the
problem,
word.
That is the problem in the workforce in this country today. I can't talk about any other country because I don't know. But this country, that is the problem. And as a working woman that busts her tail every single day and that holds down a job, that goes into work sick, goes into work, it doesn't, snow, ice, sleep doesn't matter.
Again, this is exactly what my problem is. Every time I talk to people, it's always about corporate greed, and they miss the point every time. There is no such thing as corporate greed. No such thing. No.
What? There's no such thing as corporate greed.
One bit. A corporation must take care of the bottom line, and the bottom line is to make its money. It has to. It can't survive without making a profit. Listen, the bottom line is, look, I said this.
Profit, but wait a minute. First of all, I went to college. I did take some business classes. I did some accounting classes. So I'm pretty familiar with how to come up with a business plan, how to purchase a business, how to run a business. I'm pretty familiar with the aspects of that and the accounting aspects of it and all of that stuff, okay, taxes, yada, yada, yada. So I'm pretty well-versed when it comes to that. So, yes, every company must protect themselves and every company must make money, but every company can only make money if they have the, you can make more money with well-satisfied employees.
Listen, if I may, Mary, let me explain. I'm going to break. Yeah, James, you're there. Let me say this to you. That a lot of people who are, especially liberals in this country, which obviously you and James are.
Okay.
All right. The bottom line is this. So I can say it to you again. Okay. The first rule of business is profit. Profit. And if you don't make a profit, what are you in business for? I mean, come on. Are you going to tell me that you're going to...
What kind of profit are you talking about?
Can I say something now?
Can I say something now? Because you conservatives seem to miss the point as usual, okay? Because you conservatives, all right, are the ones who are saying, yeah, you need to make a profit. But who's making your profit for you? Because you guys aren't doing it. You're sitting in your little offices. You're handing down your little decrees, but who's actually getting it done? Now, not only that, beyond that, you're also talking about other people who are working and taking their paychecks to buy your products. When we stop doing that, you go away.
James?
There is no one without the other. You know, I'm so tired of hearing, you know, you're trying to make a profit, but you're saying, okay, just buy what I'm selling you and screw the rest. But without the rest, we can't buy what you're selling.
Again, missing. You know what it is? You never ran a business, and that's what I'm talking about.
I never ran a business.
You never ran a business. Sure I have. I run Reese on the radio.
And without your listeners, people who go on out and work and take their time out of their busy schedules, out of their home lives, to listen to you and to call in and to give you your ratings and to buy the products that you're selling, you have no radio station. No radio station is going to touch you without the rest of us. So don't talk down to us.
James,
don't discount us.
No. Let me say this.
Because without us, there is no you.
Here's the bottom line. Wait. No. Mary. I need to address what James just said. I'll let you counter that.
Go ahead.
But let me address what Jamie just said. I'm gonna give you a perfect example. James, you missed this, and I want you to hear this so that you understand where businesses are coming from. So if I decide, right, like I'm Home Depot, right?
Okay.
I create Home Depot, and I put in all the malls and all of the places in suburban areas.
Okay, you're breaking up.
Why does this happen every night at the same time?
I have no idea.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now we can.
Okay. So I make this company, Home Depot, and I sell paint, I sell lumber, I sell lawn products, whatever it is, right? I put the building up on a hill. I spend money on those products that I get, and I spend money on advertising that I have this new store. Now, the customer comes in, and they purchase the product. Now, my question to you is, do I owe the customer something after they've purchased from my store?
Do you want them to come back?
Yes. And what do I need to offer them in order for them to come back?
Well, let's see. From the business standpoint, that's why you have sales. That's why you have rebates. These things are in the business perspective, are they not?
You're absolutely right, James.
Because no one wants somebody who's only going to come once.
Right. So.
But now let's turn this around. You are now a consumer, especially you. All right, and how picky you are. You go to that Walmart, you go to that Home Depot, and you get, and the service you get sucks. Are you going to go back?
No. Again, James.
And how many people are you going to tell don't go to the Walmart on Clockin and Second Avenue?
Right. Again, you guys are making my point for me.
From a business standpoint, in order to stay in business, okay, it's just like, and I hate saying this because I know a lot of people of our color say this, but it's just like being a drug dealer. No drug dealer makes his money on the quick pot. It's your repeat business that makes you or breaks you.
If you don't give an incentive,
then especially with people who work under you, then you're going to lose those people who could be making you money. You're going to lose those people who could be spending money.
I mean, how is it?
You know, what I find incredibly odd is that, getting off the point that we made about women and them making money, but you know what? Stick around. I do want your opinion on the next subject that comes up since you're here. Because it's not so much that I can't win. It's just that you're just not listening to me.
No, you're not listening.
All right. Well, stick around. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. Take a break for a minute.
And, of course, we got to go to commercial.
Yeah, of course. I had to time it perfectly. Sure. We go to commercial. When we come back, an 18-year-old woman shoots a man who comes into her home. Yeah, shot him dead. Talk about how the press dealt with it and how you might feel about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. When we come back, it's Reese on the Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Well, the Democrats' way of running this country is to go tell us all how we ought to make sacrifices.
Good job.
God, they're great on that stuff. But they're all going to have us over the hill to the poorhouse. We ain't going to be able to drive over there because we ain't got no gas. So we're going to have to walk it.
Oh, the Reader's Digest says walking is very good for you.
Oh, ain't that lovely? The Reader's Digest can always put a little joy into poverty. This is my whole pain. My whole pain is this whole thing with the energy and everything. This is all a conspiracy. Don't you know that? It's a conspiracy there. Listen, for years, all our lives, they've been telling us to go out and buy stuff that use energy. You know, all electrical stuff. Like electric toasters, electric ovens, electric stoves. Electric stereo, electric TV, electric race, electric hair blower, electric knives, electric every damn thing. Not to mention the cars. And now, after all the big corporations there make the billions and billions of dollars worth of profits, signals, wham, they're changed. And after telling us for years that we can't live without this junk, now they tell us that we gotta live without it. The country is going straight into the dumper.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. The number's 347-308-8701. Again, 347-308-8701. Shows how good I am. All right, we're on the line with JC, James, Mary. They're becoming my regular callers. And we got some people, actually, who are just listening in because they don't want to get on the line, but that's all right. And we're having actually a good time and having some great discussion. I can't win with the whole women getting equal pay and stuff, so forget about it. I guess I have to move off of that one. I can make my point, but it doesn't seem like I'm going to win here, so I'm just going to have to quit. That's
are just you throwing in the white flag?
I'm not throwing in any flags. I don't do that.
Well, it kind of sounds like there's almost a punchline coming up, but we're still waiting on it.
No, there's no punchline. There's no punchline. I'm not...
Yeah, just quit while you're behind, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to quit while I'm behind. I guess that's the best way to do it. Whatever. I just have to quit. Anyway, listen, there was a story that came out earlier today that I heard. And, look, I believe, and I'm almost certain, that I'm going to own a gun in 2012. I think it's only right, and I think that today you kind of have to own a gun. And considering the story that just happened that I'm about to play for you, you tell me whether or not you think the press in some sort of way was kind of mocking this young woman, 18 years old with a young child, and what she did yesterday.
This young mother takes maternal instinct to a whole new level.
I walked over and got the 12 gauge, went in the bedroom and got the pistol and put the bottle in his mouth, and then I called 911.
18-year-old Sarah McKinley killed a man, she says, to protect her 3-month-old baby.
I'm here by myself with my infant baby. Can I please get a dispatcher out here immediately?
Late on New Year's Eve, police say two men, one armed with a 12-inch hunting knife, were trying to break into her home outside Oklahoma City. McKinley recognized one of them as someone she thought was stalking her.
He was from door to door trying to bust in. They said I couldn't shoot him until he came in the door.
Are your doors locked? Yes, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the store?
I can't tell you that you can do that, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby.
The teen mother killed the 24-year-old intruder the second he stepped inside. Police call the shooting justified.
You're allowed to shoot an unauthorized person that is in your home. The law provides you the remedy and sanctions the use of deadly force.
The second intruder turned himself in. McKinley was home alone that night because her husband just died of cancer on Christmas Day. While
wow.
her son may grow up without his father, this is one little boy who will always know Mom will do anything to protect him.
I knew that I was going to have to choose him or my son, and it wasn't going to be my son, so I did what I had to do. There's nothing more dangerous than a mother with a child.
Nothing more dangerous than a mother with a child and have an intruder come in. She pulled out a shotgun and a handgun. And the minute that he walked into the door, she shot him. The part that bothers me about ABC News when they did this was they said that she says, and I love the way they put that. She says
yeah.
that he was breaking into her house, like
yeah,
like they don't believe her.
Okay, you know, wow, I don't even know where to start on that one.
So
being
a man, I would have Swiss teased him.
You would have what?
Swiss teased him.
You just want
a pump
yeah.
so full of lead.
Light him up. Light him up. Light
well,
him
she
up.
Did. She shot him. She shot him with a rifle, a shotgun. In fact, she shot him. The other guy apparently ran. But the part that baffles me is that she's here talking. She's talking to a dispatcher, and
yeah, that part was. Are your doors locked? What was that?
Well, first of all, you're dealing with the law. And when you're dealing with the law, she asked the person who's a dispatcher, who should be someone who knows the law, can I shoot him if he comes into the apartment? And her response to that is, I can't tell you to do that. My immediate response to that is, well, do you not know the law? The law says if you enter my dwelling unauthorized, I could blast you.
True. But as a dispatcher, all right, and
again,
as a dispatcher, she is not an officer.
Not a law enforcement person.
No. The dispatcher is a law enforcement person, and she's asking her the law. She says, "Can I shoot him?"
Not all dispatchers, they do have what's the term I'm looking for? It's The closest analogy I can think of is non-military workers.
Okay, so you're saying not official police workers.
Right.
Right.
Not an official police worker. So she can't be
not official police personnel.
And right. then on top of that, the dispatcher probably had to say that or wasn't thinking fast enough on her feet that was the only thing she could come out with to protect herself, too, because what if it would have been a problem and then she was held liable? She basically told the girl, shoot the person.
Well,
right. And also, the dispatcher doesn't know who the other person is.
Well, that being said, okay, fine, I understand. You're talking it from a legal standpoint. You're saying,
right, the dispatcher kind of has to protect themselves and the police department because they get blamed for everything.
Right, mm-hmm. But
I have a couple of friends that are police dispatchers, and they get blamed for everything in the department.
Now,
this could have been a domestic dispute gone bad. It could have been anything. She's on the other line. She's not there. She can't be on record and taped, obviously, as giving advice.
The authorization.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that, of course, for obvious reasons and for liability reasons, you don't want to be the person that says, yeah, shoot his ass.
Right.
But that may be what you're saying. Hey, look, I don't know about you. She did, it's like KYA, cover your ass, you know?
Well, I love
I can't tell you to do that. It's like any lawyer worth their salt would say, well, I can't tell you to run.
Where did you
lose.
Dame,
so.
Dame,
huh?
Where did you get KYA from? It's CYA. See ya.
Oh, well, KC, whatever, man.
The ass is covered. That's all that matters.
Well, yeah.
I blame it on the education system.
Yes, you do.
That's how we do it in Queens.
But I like about the reporter was the way he says that one line, he goes, she says, like the police have already confirmed that it was an intruder, but when he says it, it's like he doesn't even believe. I gotta play it one more time. Give me a second, but listen to what he says.
This young mother takes maternal instincts to a whole new level.
I walked over and got the 12 gauge. Went in the bedroom and got the pistol and put the bottle in his mouth, and then I called 911.
18-year-old Sarah McKinley killed a man, she says, to protect her 3-month-old baby.
I'm here by myself with my infant baby. Can I please get a dispatcher out here immediately?
Late on New Year's Eve, police say two men, one armed with a 12-inch hunting knife, were trying to break into her home outside Oklahoma City. McKinley recognized one of them as someone she thought was stalking her.
He was from door to door trying to bust in. They said I couldn't shoot him until he came in the door.
Are your doors locked? Yes, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the store?
I can't tell you that you can do that, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby.
The teen mother killed the 24-year-old intruder the second he stepped inside. Police call the shooting justified.
You're allowed to shoot an unauthorized person that is in your home. The law provides you the remedy and sanctions the use of deadly force.
The second intruder turned himself in. McKinley was home alone that night because her husband just died of cancer on Christmas Day.
Wow.
While her son may grow up without his father, this is one little boy who will always know mom will do anything to protect him.
I love that part.
I know
part of the story. Is that
okay? Can I say one thing first? Because I gotta get it out, and I know it's gonna sound like really, really bad. But man, did they pick the wrong weekend to try to break into that chick.
You are so right. I feel so horrible for this woman. This woman feels like she lost everything, and someone is trying to take something else from her.
Yeah.
I mean, to talk about a guy with bad luck.
Wow.
And the reporting of it sounds like a bad broadcast school audition tape.
and it's funny because that's from Good Morning America, a national show. And
watches Good Morning America?
Actually,
anymore.
They're horrible.
they're not great. But I like the way he says, he goes, she killed the man. she says she was protecting her 3-year-old child. I mean, I almost feel like the next line is going to be, we think it was trigger happy broad. You know what I mean? It almost feels like he was going to say something else.
Well, you know that's going to be the caption on TMZ, trigger happy broad.
Yeah.
How about the fact that she says, when she says that she gets the 12 gauge and the pistol, and then she puts the bottle in the baby's mouth.
Wow.
I thought it would sound a lot better if she said she breastfed the baby at the time.
Yeah.
Pickle in the baby's mouth.
That
story would have rocked at that point.
Look, I will say this. I think if she can grab two guns and put a bottle in the baby's mouth, you need to hire her somewhere and pay her a man's pay.
Hey, oh my God.
She can do it all.
I wonder if you want to do radio.
That is one multitasking badass broad.
You need to hire her. Yeah,
you
gotta hire her. She can multitask like no other. Shotgun, bottle. That's amazing.
But it just proves our point, you know. She did what she had to do, but she took care of her family first.
Exactly.
I'm surprised she didn't stop to sing a lullaby.
Yeah,
and outside of losing her husband, it's the perfect story.
Yeah, and again, it's like 6 days later, this knucklehead is breaking into her house. And, you know, and somebody in that position, you'd think that they'd probably be a lot more docile in that lost somebody dear to them, the child who died. But she did everything to protect her. And I have to say, you know, look.
Sure, she got the guns. She got the guns first.
Right.
Took care of her child and called the police.
I got it. Exactly. And
how many hands does this woman have?
You know what?
So the police like that were all kind of full at the time.
Yeah,
this gives new meaning to Octomom.
Was she holding the gun? I mean, was she holding the phone up to her ear with her shoulder while she had one? She had a pistol and a shotgun. That's a little overkill.
I'm gonna see if I can get the video. I'm gonna put it on ReeseOnTheRadio.com. But they have a picture in the audio that I just played you. The picture of her. She's actually holding the shotgun in her hand. She's got her ear pressed to her shoulder like she's holding a phone to show how she was talking to the dispatcher.
There you go.
And she stood. What was interesting, and talk about a tactic. This is going to be even funnier to you. The door swung open towards her, so when she shot, the door comes towards her. She's behind the door in essence, and she's about 10 feet away. So when the guy comes out, he can't see from behind the door. So when he pops out from behind the open door, that's when she fired. They said seconds after she walked in. So he had no idea he was walking into an ambush. And the thing to wherewithal, especially for a woman, and I know I'm going to get a lot of grief when I say this, and going back to our earlier conversation, is that she had the wherewithal, because that's a tough thing for a woman to have to do, take a man's life. But
tough thing for anyone to have to do.
But that being said, you know, a woman protecting her cubs. Again, I applaud women. They're the toughest, probably out of us when it comes to those types of things. But that's why I said earlier, you know, family's first with them, not business.
Yeah. But you know, for me, you know, the imagery, especially when you say that there's a picture of it. The imagery I get is Malcolm X, you know, when he's standing by the window,
right,
with the shotgun, you know, by any means necessary.
Absolutely.
That's the imagery I get, and I'm like, hey, go for it, more power to her.
Well, I'm glad that the dispatcher didn't tell her something silly like don't shoot, and there have been. Plenty instances, and I've seen
the
videos. Yeah, wait for the cops. Don't do anything. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. JC, you might be more familiar with it than most. But, you know, we had Michael Dukakis in Massachusetts as the governor, who suggested that if somebody breaks into your home, that you should leave.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that. That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show.
Can you imagine somebody telling you that the law should say there was another case where a guy ended up spending 15 years in jail? A guy comes into his home, he stabs the guy and kills him. The guy makes it outside of the home and dies on his lawn. They charge him with murder. He does 15 years in jail for murder. The reason
why. How much you want to bet? I'm sorry to keep cutting you off.
Let me just finish. The reason why is because the law states that the person, if they die, if you kill them, you have to keep them in the home.
Keep them in the house.
Drag them back in the house.
Yes.
Back in the house.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine stabbing a guy? I mean, the guy breaks into your house. You don't want him there. You defend yourself. You kill the guy. Then he tries to run, and you got to grab the son of a gun. And you go, no, where you going? Where you going? Where you going? You're not going up there.
I can't do that.
You got to die in here. You can't die out there.
You can't
die
outside. No.
You
know? Exactly. Where you going? Where you going? Have some tea. I mean, come on.
I mean, we got some chocolate chip cookies in the cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean, I got
the cable hooked up. You know.
I got some chamomile. I got Earl Grey. What you want? You can't die outside. Right. Can't die outside.
Here. Use this towel. I don't want you bleeding on my rug.
Exactly. I couldn't believe there was actual law that said that. It was hilarious to me.
Okay. But here's my bit of I'm going to be a prophet here. How much you want to bet that there's going to be some prosecutor somewhere who's going to try this woman is going. I hope that the guns were registered, because if not, she can be brought up on charges regardless.
It's Oklahoma.
Well, that's only in reference to whatever her state laws are.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Mary. Whatever the state laws are, if she can have a shotgun in her home, which is probably the Oklahoma law, she'll probably get off scot-free, which I hope she does. Come on. That you don't want to – I mean, do you think a prosecutor would have enough sense or would be –
You're talking about prosecutors and sense.
Okay. All right. Maybe not.
Okay. Let's not go there.
I'm just saying, a prosecutor would be vilified. A prosecutor would be vilified if he tried to take this 18-year-old mother from her child. It would be a moron to try to take this mother away from her child after this had happened to her, for crying out loud, 6 days. I mean, a six-day difference, losing the baby's father to having somebody break into her home with a 12-inch knife. Come on.
Now,
I mean, that's
playing devil's, okay. Playing devil's advocate, there is something that that I heard that sort of sends up a red flag.
Okay.
The fact that the reporter had said, that she said, that the guy who broke in, one of the guys who broke in, was someone she recognized as someone who was stalking her.
Right.
That sends up a red flag for me.
It does for me as well, that she, you know, why was she being stalked? What would be the reason that she was being stalked? And
you knew the guy, you know, yeah, there could be something there. I'm not trying to throw salt in the game or muddy the waters here, but that
the fact is that the chief of police or whoever it was that was releasing a statement to the press stated that her shooting and killing whoever entered her home was justified by law.
And I'm glad that they said
all right.
I'm very, very glad that they said that. If someone goes into your dwelling, by law, you can kill them, you can shoot them, which should be the law. You know, in 2008, there was a guy I was calling G.I. Joe, and an interesting sort of case it was, he actually witnessed his neighbor being robbed, and the guys jumped out of the neighbor's window. He saw them, and he called the dispatcher and says, "Hey, listen, I can stop these guys." And they said, "Please don't go out there." But he shot them both and killed them.
actually, that is under the law.
It should
that
be.
That is under the law, to protect yourself, your family, or...
your neighbor's dwelling.
Yeah, or your neighbor's dwelling. Yes, that is covered under the law.
I will tell you this. What made it interesting was, the reason why he was justified in this case was that after they robbed the neighbor's house, the two guys ran, and they crossed his lawn.
Yeah.
They stepped on his property. And that's what
made
him off.
But now, wait a minute. Did he shoot and kill both of them?
Say again?
He shot and killed both of them?
Yes, he did. Shot and killed both of them.
You're not going to shoot one and say, hey, you know, I know I shot your friend. You can go.
Well, no, Jamie, that's not what I was getting at. But what I'm getting at is that was justified. He didn't do any time for that. There was no charges brought against him. Is that what the case is?
The prosecutor had thought about pressing charges with him, but I think that it skirted the law because both of them had actually stepped onto his property, and,
yeah,
you know, that's enough to think that your life is in danger.
But then here we go back to what happened to the guy in Boston, I think you were talking about earlier, or Massachusetts, whatever. Well, Boston is in Massachusetts, but the guy that stabbed the guy that was in his house, and then he ran out and died on the lawn or something.
This wasn't Massachusetts. This happened in Texas, where the guy shot
those
two
people.
And
it can be said that even, you know, that he had a mitigating fear that since they were running from his neighbor's house, they were crossing his lawn. What was to stop them from trying to get into his house?
Oh,
there was
right.
a mitigating fear.
Absolutely,
but I guess that all goes back to state law, though, because, like, here in the state of Virginia, I think that if that would have happened, that person would have been brought up with charges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the scary part, which is what I always argued, this whole right to bear arms thing. You cannot protect yourself in a lot of these states because the gun laws are so strict. And you know, when Dukakis had that law that says that if somebody breaks into your house, that you need to get out of your own home. In other words, not to protect your own dwelling. It's almost like, why would I buy a home that I cannot protect?
How are you supposed to get out without getting hurt, without the possibility of getting hurt?
Exactly. You are putting yourself in harm's way. And if I may say so, liberalism. That's what
liberalism, please.
Hey, Dukakis is a liberal.
Please. Liberalism, it's not even that, man. Come on. But my thing is, but that's prevalent nowadays anyway, okay? First and foremost, it seems that criminals get more rights than victims.
This is true.
Okay? And especially when it comes in the eyes of the media, okay? A victim will get vilified for fighting back. You know, but
yeah.
if you get shot and you die and all that, everyone says, oh, he's a hero because he died and all that. But if you fought back and won, people are saying, well, you shouldn't have taken the law into your own hands. There's always something. There's always something. And it's like no one tells the criminals that, okay, well, no, actually they're giving the criminals the glad hand. You might as well be the criminal because you got more rights than being a victim.
That's right. You're absolutely right, liberals. It's so true. It's just so true.
Well, this is coming from a liberal, JT.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm laughing about. Anyway, thank you, folks. Okay, it's the last minute. We're about to go away, and we will be back. Listen. Tomorrow is Therapy Thursday. Therapy
Can't
Thursday.
Wait.
I got a personal problem that I need to discuss on the air.
Just one?
All right, it's time to put them on hold. I'll see you knuckleheads tomorrow. I love you. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And I'm going to keep using this, you know, until somebody tells me that it's corny and it's outdated and I can't use it anymore. Radio is free, but I always thank you for paying attention. It's Reese on the Radio. I love you.
Come on, players. Stop hating. Stop participating.
Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.